Do pray that you would bless our time now as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 1. This is, Lord willing, the last week we're going to announce that. If I can get on the stick, we'll move on. Colossians chapter 1. This morning I want to start our lesson with a little word association. I'm going to give you a word, and I want you to tell me the first word that pops into your mind. All right? You ready? This means you have to be thinking. Okay? All right, here's the word. You ready? By the way, good to see Dave and Lavina back with us. Morris, good to have you folks again this morning. Here it is. Here's the word. Just in time, Sandy. Here's the word. Here's the word. First word. The word is minister. Minister. All right, very quickly. Dave? Servant? Preacher. Man of God. Elder. Leader. Friend. This side. Sorry. Pastor Jody to you. Helper. Anything else over here? It's interesting to me, although somebody said servant, no one said me. Now, we're living in a day when we have huge pastoral staffs, and their job is to do the work of the church, right? That's their job. They're to do all the visiting. They're to do all the soul winning. They're to do all the work of the church. That's what we pay them for. Hallelujah. If that's exactly right. Amen.
I think that's great.
The simple matter of fact is you don't get off that easy. As we've been studying in Colossians chapter 1, we know that God calls every one of us to a ministry. In fact, if you're a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, guess what? You should have a ministry at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, I want to read our text. We're going to go back to verse 24 and begin there. Kind of see the first 5 points real quickly in the passage. And again, these are marks of a minister. Now, obviously this applies to full-time pastors, but it also applies to you because you also are to be ministers. Verse 24. verse 23 is the end, really, actually where it starts. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Here's the first one. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Here's the source of the ministry. Who has called every minister into a specific ministry? The Lord does, all right? There's the source. We move on. Who now, here's the spirit of the ministry. Who now what? Rejoice. So joy is the spirit of the ministry. But there's also some rejoicing, not in just the good times, but he says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And there's the third ones, the sufferings of the ministry. And he goes on and he says, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according, here's the next one, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. There's the fourth one. That is the scope of the ministry. And we said the ministry is a, if you're a ruler of the house, you are called a steward. This is a stewardship. God has given you a stewardship. And we've been in this probably for a month or two. We've been in this for a long time. So I don't want to go over all the nitty-gritty again, but I just want to remind you that you as a believer are to have a ministry in the church. And God has given you a stewardship. How are you doing with your stewardship? You say, well, Gary, I don't know what my ministry is. Then what are the odds of you fulfilling it? Not very good. How can you be a good steward if you don't know what it is? So God says, look, God is calling us to the stewardship, to this ministry in the church. Now, what should the stewardship be? What is the subject of the stewardship? We talked about verse 26 last week. Here it is. Well, let's start at verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Here it is. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Remember what a definition of a ministry, of a mystery. Something that God kept from the Old Testament saints, but is revealed in the New Testament. And he said, the subject of the ministry is this mystery which is rich. And we talked all lesson last week about the mystery. What is the mystery? You say, it's a mystery to me. What is it? That when you get saved, what happens? God moves in. I tell you, I have just been rejoicing over this all week long. God is in me. And you know what? When you're giving out the gospel, when you're proclaiming the truth, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, you know what you're proclaiming? David Ellison, God wants to live in you. God can't live in you because of your sin. So he sent Jesus Christ to pay for your sin. If you'll accept him, repent of sin, and place your faith in Christ, he will wash away your sin. He will come and indwell you. Let's have an invitation. David, you come on before we get saved right now. Let's get it. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful truth. God in us. And by the way, when you get God in you, what's he trying to do? Well, let's look at the rest of this passage. I don't think I read the whole verse yet. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why is the Spirit of God in you today? To make you feel good, right? So you can speak in tongues. So you can fall to the floor, slain in the Spirit. And that always bothered me when these ladies stand at the front with blankets to throw on other ladies who are falling, slain in the Spirit. Why would the Holy Spirit make you fall down and be immodest? Now, I could talk about dress here, but I'm not going to, okay? Why would the Holy Spirit... Yeah, okay. You don't have hymnals. You can't throw hymnals at me. You don't have any hymnals, so that's a good thing. Look, why is the Holy Spirit in you? Why is God in you? To bring glory to himself, to reveal himself. How does he do that? How does God reveal himself through you? Through your actions. He changes you from the inside out to be like him. And when we love like Christ, when we love like God, what are we doing? We're giving glory to God. When we sacrifice like Christ to minister to somebody else, what are we doing? We're giving glory to God. And God's glory is being revealed in our lives. Let me ask you a question. This week, was God revealed to others through your life? I mean, if I'd followed you around this week and watched everything you did, listened to everything you said, could I have said, boy, they are glorifying God. Now look, folks, why did God put us here? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do should glorify God. By the way, is that true in the workplace? You bet. If you're giving 75% at work, are you glorifying God? No. You ought to glorify God in the workplace, even with that crazy boss you've got. You know? There you go. So the Holy Spirit of God, God is indwelling us to make us like him. And obviously that also guarantees future glory in heaven. All right, so that's all review. Now, let's move on to some new stuff. Let's look on now in verse 28 at the style of the ministry, all right? How do we do it? How do we do the ministry? Here it is. Whom we, what's the next word? Preach. Warning, you say, oh, hallelujah, that leaves me out. Nice try, I'll get to that in a second. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So we see here the style of the ministry, and we see it right off. It is to preach. What does the word preach mean? It means to yell as loud as you can, right? What does preach mean? It means to proclaim. Proclaim. Now, obviously, this applies to formal proclamation in a pulpit. But you know what, folks? It is also applying to every believer. Every believer is to be a proclaimer. And by the way, our churches are in such a mess. So many preachers get up to preach. They get up. They don't get up to preach. They get up to tell jokes and to make you feel good about yourself. That's not the preacher's job. In fact, to be honest with you, if a preacher is doing his job, he'll probably make you feel bad about yourself. As long as you feel good about yourself, you're not going to get any better, are you? If you go to a church and every time he gets up, that preacher just makes me feel so good. Well, you're not going to get good. You may feel good, but you aren't. That's not what the preacher's supposed to do. He's not supposed to get up and study Andy Griffith's show or Beverly Hillbillies. Isn't it a tragic thing, folks, that there are churches that have Sunday school classes and they show episodes of Andy Griffith? And we're going to study episode number 27 this week. Make sure you take your CD home, your DVD home, and study ahead on episode 27. When we get together next week, we're going to see how Andy was like a good Christian, or how he wasn't. Or Larry wants to know where that church is. Goodness gracious. What is going on? Now, you look back at verse 28. What's the first word? Whom, not what, whom. What is the subject of our proclamation? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." I'll tell you another thing that bothers me. When a preacher gets up to preach and all he does is talk about how good he is.
Well, I have this great church, and we're running 4,000, and because I'm a great preacher, and they all love me, and I'm gifted, right?
What in the world's going on in this world? Folks, the proclamation of the minister and our proclamation, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Preaching is proclamation, to give forth truth, to speak out for Christ. Now, here it is, folks. Every believer is to proclaim Christ wherever we go. Is that easy to do? No. We have a lot of people that come at lunchtime and they'll park here in the parking lot under the trees. And I have a ministry. It's called the Parking Lot Ministry. And when I come home from lunch and I see them there, I stop and I give them a track. And I drove by later and I said, I thought, yeah, well, that's crazy. You idiot. So I went over and gave her a track. Now, she was a believer, but my lands. I mean, she's parked in our parking lot, and I'm too embarrassed to go give her a track. What is wrong with us? I know you're not that way, but I am. Proclaiming Christ, whom we preach. Now, it's interesting in this passage that he gives us the style here. By the way, I don't have to encourage you to talk about, if you're a UT fan, I don't have to encourage you to talk about UT when they win. Now, next week, maybe a different story. And we don't have to encourage people to talk about the weather. We don't have to encourage people to talk about the economy or politics. But folks, that's not our message. What are we supposed to be talking about? I like the little song. It says, "Let's talk about Jesus." Let me ask you a question. How many people did you tell about Christ this week? How many people did you say, "Hey, let me give you something to read here from our church"? How many people did you say, "Hey, let me ask you, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" Folks, this is one of the marks of the ministry. Now, why are we not reaching? Now, I thank the Lord for our church, and the Lord is blessing us, and our church is growing. Most of our growth is coming from what? From people getting saved and coming to our church? Or people coming from other churches. Now, we're glad to have any growth at all, obviously. But where should our growth be coming? As we as ministers proclaim Christ to a lost world. I don't know. Maybe we just ought to stop and have an invitation. I'd go forward. The ministry, folks, of the work of the minister is to preach or proclaim Christ. And notice, it's interesting how we're supposed to do it. Notice again back in verse 28. Whom we preach, there's two aspects of it. What's the first thing you need to do when you're preaching the gospel? You need to warn them. Now, What good will it be if I come to somebody and says, look, Jesus died to save you, and he loves you, and come on. I haven't warned him yet, have I? If he's not lost, if he doesn't think he's lost, he's not going to get saved. Now, you do this with your kids all the time. You have small children. You say, Johnny, if you go out in the street one more time, I'm going to beat the fire out of you. Well, you probably don't say it quite that way, but we're much more loving than that. You're going to apply the Board of Education, the seat of understanding, or some other way you say it. But you warn them. Why? Because you want them to have right actions. And he says, as we proclaim the truth, we need to warn people. We need to admonish people. That's the word. We need to admonish them, tell them about the danger that they're in. When a pastor gets up to preach, he's not there to entertain and make us laugh. Now, I know comedy or humor has its place in preaching. And if a guy gets up to preach 45 minutes and it's all, you go nuts. And every once in a while, he just needs to lay back and tell a joke or something, you know, relax a little bit. I understand that. And if we do that to make a point, I understand that. But folks, preaching is to warn people. Look, if you die in your sin, you are going to go to a devil's hell. Folks, we need to be warning people. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12, he says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. A pastor's job, a teacher's job is to admonish. Now, I try to admonish you a bunch, but by the way, when I'm admonishing you, now I've already spent a lot of time studying. I know you can't tell, but I really have. And I've already been admonished. And even when I'm teaching, God admonishes me again. Warns us, folks, to get out and do the job. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is an interesting passage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 14. 3:14. Now, he's speaking to the church here, and he says, if any man, verse 14, obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy, but do what? Admonish him as a brother. You know, even as believers, we are to be admonishing other believers, warning them. You know, if you continue in the way you're going, you're going to experience the chastening hand of God. If you continue sowing the way you're sowing, you're going to reap. It's going to come. Admonishing one another. It's interesting in Colossians 3:16, a verse you probably know, for the word of God dwelleth in us richly. Oh! And what does it do? Teaching and admonishing one another. Now, this is interesting. In this passage, how are we to admonish one another? This is interesting. In songs and hymns and spiritual songs. That's interesting. We admonish through our singing. In Romans 15:14, it says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. We need to be warning people. I was going to have you turn to Ezekiel. I'm not going to. But in Ezekiel 33, God is speaking to the prophet, and the prophet is speaking and saying, look, the scenario is there's a city that has walls around the city in the Old Testament time, and there's a lookout, a watchman, if you will, on the wall. What is his job? Well, a watchman, probably to watch. And if he sees something, his job is to warn, right? Hey, everybody wake up! The enemy's coming! Hey, watch out! Oh, no, it's look bad! Now, what does it say in the Word of God? If a watchman doesn't do his job, that passage says that their what will be on his hands? Their blood will be on his hands. Now think about that, folks. God has set you to be a watchman. Where has God set you to be a watchman at? Your house? At home? Where else? Give me specific places where God has set you to be a watchman. Be more specific. Serenity Salon Day Spa. You're a watchman. You're also the owner, yeah, so you're really in trouble here. But right off Roan Street. There you go. Brief advertisement. Bob, where has God sent you to be a watchman? AEP. Leroy, I can't use you. You're retired now. Well, God made you a watchman. South Johnson City. On Watauga and Fairview and all those. He's a watchman over there. That's what God has sent him to do. Where has God sent you to be a watchman, Ms. Woodard? That's exactly the truth. I was going to try to give you a plug for your real estate company, but she didn't want to, so that's all. There you go. By the way, if you call Joyce's cell phone, be prepared. If you get her answering machine, it's far too cheery. Don't call it in the morning, for sure. What does it say on there?
It's a great day at Keller Williams.
Yeah. It's a great day at Keller Williams because of you, is really what it's like. Oh, my soul. Yes, sir. John Sevier. John, you're exactly right. God has set us to be a watchman, to warn. How are we doing? How are we doing with that? Now, by the way, is it enough to warn? Go around, everybody. If you die in your sin, you're going to go to hell, brother. If you die, and that's it. Then you go off. Just leave them, right? No, that says, what does it say? It says, look, back in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 28, it says, whom we preach, warning every man, there's the admonition, and teaching every man in all wisdom. We give them spiritual principles. We teach them. We give them the truth. Brother Mann preached on that Wednesday night. We give them the truth. Yes, if you die in your sin, you will go to hell, but hallelujah, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, came and died for you. He died to pay for your sin. And you give them the truth of the Word of God. You admonish with Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for what? Doctrine. What is doctrine? That is teaching the truth. Tell you what's right. What's the next word? Reproof. What's that? Tell you what's wrong. So right there he says, look, the Word of God is great for warning, and it's great for giving people the truth. Give them the Word of God. By the way, let me just mention this as a rabbit trail. When you witness, they don't need to hear your arguments and your philosophies. What they need to hear is the Word of God. God doesn't promise to bless your personality or your wise words. God promises to bless His Word. His Word will not return void, not your word. And as we're preaching and admonishing and tell people of Christ, we need to give them the Word of God. We need to give them the Word of God. And by the way, look back in verse 28. There is a phrase that is repeated three times. What is it? Every man. Yours doesn't say just the elect? Or just those who are spiritual giants? Who do you have a responsibility to proclaim the truth to? Everybody. I can't come in the parking lot one day and say, oh, that lady's not elect, I'm not going to give her track. or that big guy who's 6'7" and 245 pounds with all his tattoos on his arm and all those earrings in his ears and stuff, he's not the one, obviously. I don't need to give him the gospel. Every man. Wow, what a responsibility, folks. Every man. We're to give them, we're to preach, we're to proclaim the truth, we're to give them warning, give them the Word of God. You know, maybe we need to have Proclaim the Truth Week or Proclaim Christ Week. Let's call it that. Proclaim Christ Week. And for everyone to say, you know what? As this week, I am going to proclaim Christ to somebody. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you go out to eat, and I'm not opposed to this. I do it. Obviously, I have a track here. The waitress doesn't have all day to talk. But I'm not talking about taking a track when you get done eating and, you know, as you're sliding out, you put the tip, then you leave the track and you hurry out quickly. I mean, I'm that's okay to do that, but that's not all you ought to do. Don't say, oh, I'm going to proclaim Christ this week. I'm going to leave a track with my tip, and that's it. No, We need to tell people about Christ. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? There's probably 90 people here today, maybe 100. Wouldn't it be great If every one of us here that's a believer this week would tell someone about Christ. Now, I was going to say there's going to be a quiz. Not here. There will be a test. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There will be a test. The minister is to be a proclaimer of the truth, a proclaimer of Christ. Wow. Well, let's move on. I got two more. I'm going to finish this up today. Let's move on to the next verse. end of verse 28, actually. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Here's the sum of the ministry. Here's the goal of the ministry. Ed Perkins, you have a bus route. This should be the goal of your ministry. Leroy Shepherd, you have a bus route. Edward, you have a bus route. And I'm going to leave somebody out. Who else has a bus route in here? Who? Craig has a bus route. Colliers have a bus route. Nash has a bus route. Who doesn't have a bus route? That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. You know what your job on the bus is? Now, you have to be careful here. If you get the wrong mindset, you will think, my job as a bus captain is to have a lot of people.
Especially helpers.
Yes, especially good helpers. Right, William? I was talking about you. Good help. You know what your job is as a bus captain? To present them perfect or mature in Christ. Wow. You see, sometimes we say, oh, they got saved. Hallelujah, it's done. That's just the beginning. The minister's job is to help people to mature in Christ. That's what the church is here for. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. People need to be growing in the Lord. And our job is to help people to grow in the Lord. It's not just enough to get them to Christ. Yes, that's the beginning. But then we want to minister to them. We want to help them to grow in the Lord. And how do you do that? How do you grow in the Lord? Well, you get in God's Word, obviously. I mentioned 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why are we so adamant about teaching and preaching the Word of God here? Because that's how you grow. It's how you grow. It's how you mature in Christ. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, again, there's 15 rabbit trails I could go off on here. But the main point of this passage is, folks, as we are trying to minister to people, our goal should be to be able to present those people to Christ in maturity. Yes, we want to reach them for Christ. We want to see them get saved. But then we want to give them the Word of God. We want to disciple them. We want to help them to get in church. We want to help them to grow. Praise the Lord. John, here's a good example. You're done now with the... you got your certificate a couple weeks ago. John, I think you were already saved when you came here, weren't you? And he came to church here, and he got in our discipleship program. And Darren, I think, worked... Did you work with John? And Darren spent 13 weeks, or whatever it is, 10 weeks, whatever it is, working with John. For what purpose? Because he didn't want to come to class and he didn't want to have to hear me, so he said, you know, if I do this, I can get out of Sunday school. No, I hope that's not the reason. He did that to help John mature spiritually. And John learned all kinds of things about the church and about soul winning, about prayer and about the Bible and all these things. What's the purpose of that program? So that we can help John mature spiritually, and we thank the Lord that he is. That's the work of the ministry. Let me ask you a question. Now, I've already asked you, are you proclaiming Christ? Let me ask another question. Can you point to someone that you are working with to help them to mature in Christ? Now, obviously, if you're a parent and you still have children at home, that's where it starts. Tim, you've got three. Well, count Todd, you've got four. No, I'm just kidding. You've got three that you're working with to try to mature them in Christ. Amelia, you've got one. And your goal is to help Myra to grow in the Lord. That's your ministry. That's what God has called you to do. You've got one. You've got destiny. Your job is to help her to mature in the Lord. Most of us are old people. We're past that stage. You can help your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren mature in the Lord. That's the purpose of the ministry. Now, I got to finish. Here we go. Last one. Last one. The strength of the ministry. We've talked about all these things. All the stuff you're supposed to do, and you say, oh, I'm tired. There's no way I can do that. I can't proclaim Christ. I'm shy and bashful. You're right. You can't. You can't. You say, I just can't do it. It's hard work. It's labor. And that's what Paul says. Look, he's going to give us a source of strength. He says, whereunto I also labor. Labor. That's the word to work to the point of exhaustion. Some of you look like you've already done that today. He labored. He worked hard in the ministry. And it goes on and he said, striving. That's a great word. Here's the word. Here's your Greek education today. The word is agonizomo. Isn't that exciting? Now, what's the first part of that sound like? Agony. He said sometimes the ministry is agony. And those of you raising children, Amelia and Tammy, you say, yes, you're right. There are times it's agony. It's tough. Striving. And you say, I can't do it. But notice, verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to my working. Right? Look, when God calls you to a ministry, number one, he has designed you for that ministry. He calls you to it, and when you get in it, guess what he's going to do? He is going to strengthen you for the ministry. Whatever it is. He says, according to his working, which worketh in me a little bit. Worketh in me mightily. Look, folks, here is the strength for the ministry. Yes, it can be difficult. Doing the work that God has called you to do may be challenging. It probably is challenging. And God says, hey, Paul ends this whole thing about the ministry and said, oh, just want to remind you. Just want to let you know now. Here's all the things. Here's the marks of the ministry. Here they are. Joy in suffering. Proclaiming Christ to everybody. And so, oh, by the way, I just want you to know. The way you can do that is God is in you, working, providing the strength you need to do the job you're called to do. What did Paul say? He said, I can do most things through Christ. I can do some things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. And here's the great thing, folks. You remember when the apostles, when Christ was crucified, what did they all do? They all said, feet don't fail me now, and they were out of there. They took off. But just a few days later at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell them. God moved in. And now what do you see those guys doing? Man, they're out in the corner, and they're proclaiming Christ, and they're warning, and they're teaching. And they are bold. What's the difference? God in them, working through them. Now look, God is never going to call you to do something and then hang you out to dry and say, aha, fooled you. God's enabling, or God's calling is God's enabling. If God calls you to do it, folks, he's going to help you to do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And as you seek God about the ministry you ought to be in if you're not in one, or as you are in a ministry and you maybe have gotten a little faint in the ministry, I remind you of 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Been there? The inward man is renewed day by day. The spirit is willing. See if I can quote it right. The flesh is willing, but the spirit is weak. And that's talking about our spirit. But God's spirit, folks, can help you and strengthen you. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always, I love this word, abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The reason we fail in the ministry is because we're trusting in our own self and our own resources to get the job done. If you are trusting Christ and in God who indwells you, He will strengthen you. He will renew you day by day and help you to have the strength to do what God has called you to do. The ministry. A couple questions, I'm done. Do you realize that as a believer, God has a ministry in this church for you? Number two, are you doing it? Are you doing it joyfully? Well, I hate this job, but the Lord gave it to me. I'm going to have to do it. If I don't do it, preacher could all me. Are you doing it with joy? Thirdly, are you proclaiming Christ? As a minister of the gospel, are you proclaiming Christ wherever you go? Are you helping someone to mature in Christ? And finally, are you being strengthened by the Lord in the ministry He's called you to do? That concludes Colossians chapter 1, Lord willing. If the Lord doesn't return, we'll start on chapter 2 next week. We're done talking about the ministry, and some of you have heaved a great sigh of relief. But folks, I just want to admonish you. God has something for you to do. He didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. And if you're not serving, you're out of the will of God. Find the will of God for your ministry and do it. And do it. Lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Let's do something for God. Let's proclaim Christ this week. All right? Lord, we thank you for the challenge of your word. You've challenged my heart afresh and anew. We thank you, Lord, you've got a ministry for us, something for us to do for you. And Lord, you are going to supply the strength to do it. Help us to be faithful this week. Give us people that we can proclaim Christ to, that we would warn and admonish them and give them the truth of the gospel. And use us, I pray, this week to lead someone to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.